Everybody get up, it's time to slam now. We got the real jam going down. Welcome to the Space Jam.
Comes into Jordan. Here's Michael at the foul line. A shot on Elo. Good! The Bulls win it! They win it! Kemba Walker. Step back. Walker. Cardiac Kemba! Does it again! UConn wins at the buzzer! You want a jam!
Oh! Unbelievable! Hey, you, what you gonna do? Hello and welcome into Full Court Press alongside Nick Merrick. I'm Josh Franz. We have a Final Four preview for you today. But Nick, before we get to that, let's talk about the most recent hiring in college basketball. Former Florida Gulf Coast coach Andy Enfield has signed on to coach with the USC Trojans. What do you think of that hiring?
I mean, I think it's a good ad for USC. They were in the hot seat, coached in the hot seat all of last year. Mid-season, fired him. Now all of a sudden, you know, the athletic director, Pat Hayden, had to be, you know, who's the right guy to bring in. And after seeing marquee programs like UCLA try to go after they didn't vocally go after Brad Stevens, but probably Brad Stevens, and they definitely went after Shaka Smart. And both those coaches said they were going to stay at Butler and VC respectively. All of a sudden, USC is like, oh my gosh, well, who's the best guy available? And they're going to take a chance. And it's a chance worth taking, because now right now everybody's looking over at Florida Gulf Coast and Dunk City, and they're saying Andy Enfield, a guy who's only been in the coaching scene for 2 years, so nobody really knows if he's proven yet.
Well, he's only been a head coach for 2 years. He's made his rounds for the past 15 years. He's in his low to mid-40s right now. He's been around in college and in the pros. He's been able to prove himself now at least to a team that has been amongst the bottom teams in the Pac-12 the past 2 years.
Yeah.
Well, so what do they have to lose hiring a guy who's had marginal success?
I agree. I mean, the big thing, too, is he was with the Bucks and the NBA, and also the Celtics, were two of the biggest teams. He was more of like a shooting practice coach, I guess you could say.
Right.
Here's the big thing, too. Just looking at the reports, he was apparently earning $157,000 at Florida Gulf Coast.
Which is comfortable.
Which is going to be way more than I'm going to make in my career, being with journalism. But then if he goes to USC, he's getting it worth, quote, apparently it's reported, well over $1 million a year. So USC isn't afraid to dole out the money, which...
Well, they have it. They're a private school in Los Angeles. I mean, you're going to have money.
Who cares? I mean, you might as well bring in a coach. Basketball is non-existent over there right now in L.A., so besides UCLA. So they're figuring, you know what? Let's take a chance. And the funny stat I'm reading is how Andy Enfield brought his team in two seasons head coaching. One of those 2 years, they made a Sweet 16 run. And ever since 1960, USC's only done that three times.
Wow.
That's shocking.
That's incredible, because USC, you would think, has the ability to be a powerhouse program in college basketball.
Especially thinking of like O.J. Mayo's coming through there in the past couple of years.
Right, they have the facilities, they have the money, they have the
good location for recruiting. They got location.
There's no reason why they shouldn't be a good team.
A D1 Pac-12 conference.
I guess everything just goes towards the football program. But now it looks like they're at least committing somewhat financially to improving the worst Pac-12 basketball team in the conference.
I mean, there's only a place to go is up in the Pac-12 for them right now, because they are completely struggling. So, I mean, we both think it's a good ad. The only thing, I wish he would have been a little younger, but obviously he's only 2 years head coaching experience. If he was more maybe like in his mid to late 30s rather than approaching his mid-40s, it'd be a fantastic, but then again, he'd be way more valuable, and he probably would be hiring them with UCLA, because I think UCLA would be looking at him more.
See, I disagree with you there, because I don't think age is that important. It's really, like, I don't want to be cliche. Age is just a number. It's all about how you act. But it's
That's
real,
true.
Though. I mean, his mentality is let the boys play. Let them run up and down the court. Let them have fun.
But here's the cool thing. Like, if you...
And that's the mentality of a young coach.
I don't want to go back to women's basketball, but even Pat Summitt, she signed with the Volunteers when she was what? Like,
she was just done
was
playing with Tennessee.
She was 20? Yeah.
She had just finished playing with Tennessee. She was a graduate student, head coach at Tennessee. Obviously, women's college basketball wasn't at the same place at the time.
Right. It's a little different. But taking the chance on a girl like that, then all of a sudden she knows the game. Obviously, Andy Enfield knows the game. Otherwise, he wouldn't have had all those coaching stints. So if he would have been a little younger, then all of a sudden they found the diamond in the rough. You're going to pay him $1 million. The guy's like, wow, you respect me for being this young, quote unquote. Then all of a sudden, maybe they'll stay there. And then all of a sudden, USC will build, and he's going to want to stay at USC. USC. But the problem for him is if he proves himself at USC, he's going to be gone. That's the only thing that's bad for the Trojans, because if he gets a better offer from a team, I don't even know. I mean, I don't want to go far as Duke down the road, because I don't. Coach K, he already has his assistant coach as his predecessor, but. I mean,
well, that's the problem when you're trying to build a program. Until you're built into a respected program, you're a stepping stone for a coach.
Right, and that's what he is now. So for USC, it's a great ad because they accept that they're a stepping stone, and they're in the Pac-12, and they're saying, look, Enfield, you can get your name through us. If you build a Pac-12 program and maybe become in the top four, she'll be up there in the likes of Arizona, Cal, Oregon, and UCLA.
Right, and then it's mutually beneficial because – he moves on to a better program, but at the same time, he elevates USC to where their next head coach that they hire is going to be better.
Yeah, and clearly he's a great coach because it's not like there's superstar talent in Florida Gulf Coast.
Well, he recruited guys that fit his system, and then he practiced. And that's the real big thing. These guys made drastic improvements on a day-to-day basis. When they came in, he even said during interviews on ESPN, they weren't throwing lobs to each other first day of practice. No. We worked and we ran all practice long about our timing and our accuracy and our precision, and it paid off, and they got better, and they made a great run this year.
Hey, he's a fantastic coach in terms of working with what he has, but here's a question now. Okay, so obviously he's out in the East Coast, as far east as you can get pretty much, in Florida. Now he's going as far west as you can go pretty much in California. Is that going to affect his recruiting?
I think, if anything, it helps, because he already has the East Coast recruits. So they'll already have his name, so he'll be able to pick up those guys in the East, and now he comes West, where either you're going to USC or you're not. I mean, these guys know that USC is not a dominant program, but maybe they want to go there because they have older brothers, friends who went there, like an O.J. Mayo, and you just want to reap in the legacy. I don't know. But really, they're not anybody's first choice, and nobody's really their first choice. It's they know who he is. If you want to go play for him, you will.
All right, well, here's my thing. I don't know if it's going to help. I agree that his name's out there, which is good. But looking at the roster, everybody on his team is from Florida, Georgia, North Carolina, Virginia, Maryland. So pretty much they're all states bordering.
It's all the South and the
East. Yes, it's all the South and the East.
But
and
he
actually,
did
they have,
that.
They have two. They have two foreign players as well from Switzerland, Germany. But then the thing is, too, if he comes to California, he's going to have the interest. I don't think the West Coast basketball is as good as the East Coast basketball in terms of high school talent. So it's going to be a little bit more interesting. I mean, it'd be a good debate one day. I don't know if he's going to be able to do that, but if he could recruit abroad, also Croatia, I didn't see that one. So he's good at going abroad, but is his coaching staff going to come with him? Is USC going to let him bring his coaching staff? Because currently, when he came in as head coach, he brought in his three assistant coaches and then also the director of basketball operations all in the same season. So if he could bring some of those guys, then you keep the core together, then maybe you get that respect.
Well, USC definitely has the money to let him bring in those guys. But with him moving from east to west, I think he's still able to hold on to those East Coast recruits and the Southeast recruits. The only reason those were his only recruits before is because he wasn't a big name and it wasn't a big program. Now, people know his name, so he's able to recruit throughout the whole country, not just locally.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it'd be a good thing to see what happens, you know, with recruiting as high as it is, and some top recruits still yet to go. We'll keep an eye on it more of next year, because recruiting's done this year. But I mean, unless he gets a transfer, because they say all of a sudden, oh, maybe I respect that coach more, and I'll give him a look.
Very possible. But let's move on to the Final Four. Nick, we have Louisville, Wichita State, Syracuse, and Michigan. Who's your favorite right now to win it all?
Such a tough question, because right now I see three teams that could win it all.
Not Wichita State.
I'm not a fan of Wichita State. Okay. I just don't think they can get through. They made their run, but the West was favorable to them, which we'll get to in a little bit. As much as just happened to Louisville, and our hearts are out to Kevin Ware and his entire family and his teammates for that freak incident he had, unbelievable. But we obviously wish him the best, and I can't believe the heart that kid had just to say, don't worry about me, just win the game. Win the game, win the game, win the game. He didn't
he
even care
great
about himself.
Selfless attitude. He went straight to the hospital. Obviously, we wish him the best there. He's moving around on crutches as we speak.
Yes.
He's got the trophy from the regional final by his bedside. He's got the hearts and everybody's
his
minds
teammate,
on
his
him.
His teammate had his jersey in the air. Guy, it was such a beautiful moment there when they went to the Final Four.
Right.
I have to say Louisville is going to win it just because of that. It's the weirdest thing ever for me to pick it based on an injury,
Well, it would have been so easy for Louisville to just fold and be done.
To
and be
Duke.
Like, play with heavy hearts. Yeah. And it would have been easy for
them.
They
were literally bawling on the court.
Yeah. Well, you cry on the court and then you go dominate the game. It's not something you
and
see
you
often.
And you blow it. I mean, it's just an inspired team. So if I were to put my money on anybody, I think it's going to be Louisville. However, before that, before they were playing Duke, I would have looked over and said Michigan's going to win it all.
Michigan has looked phenomenal.
Holy smokes. So I don't. If I were to see a final matchup right now, Michigan-Louisville would be fantastic. Michigan-Syracuse would be just a little bit of a step down, but that would still be a great game. But I'm going to go with the Cardinals. I think they're the favorite to win it all. But there are some really good teams in this Final Four.
Right. And when you have a Final Four matchup, you don't want to say anybody's a lock to get into the championship game because all four teams deserve to be there. But I think Louisville's as much of a lock to get into the national championship game as we've had in a number of years. But I don't want to take anything away from Wichita State. They're just not on the same level. There's a reason they're a 9 seed. It's because they're not as good as Louisville. Louisville's the number one overall seed in the tournament. Nobody was as good as them during the regular season, according to the committee. So I think Louisville's going to make the finals, hands down.
Yeah, so if you're going by committee as well, basically Louisville's number one in the country coming into this. And then if Wichita State's a 9 seed,
that means they're around the 36
highest they could be
area.
Is like 37 could be the highest they could be, according to rankings. Although it might be a little higher even with, because some teams got in just because they won the conference, and they're like, well, instead of a 10 seed, I'll make them like a 7 seed now.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, it's interesting. So there's a little bit of a gap there.
And then this is the first time in the history of the NCAA tournament that two four seeds play against each other in the Final Four or at any part of the tournament. So Louisville's never met Wichita State in the tournament. Two fours have never met each other, so we're having Michigan and Syracuse, and I think that game's a coin flip. For whatever reason, this Syracuse zone has been phenomenal. They're tall, long, athletic guards. You'll get your FaceTime later. You're 3 minutes. I haven't forgotten about that.
I know.
So you'll get that.
I'm gonna save it actually to the championship because it may be going out to wear at the end.
Okay.
I might want to save it.
Okay, that's fine. You can cash in on that whenever you want, but it's 3 minutes, whatever you want to talk
all right,
about.
Thanks, buddy.
You earned it. So, well, Syracuse
I'll
earned it.
I'll give a minute and a half, minute and half, whatever I want to talk about. All they right. want to hear me for 3 minutes.
Fair enough. So, yeah, I think Michigan-Syracuse is a great game, and it's really a coin flip, but I think Louisville is going to get that for sure. So I think Louisville has the best chance to win. That's who I'm going with.
All right. So we're both kind of in agreement there. So great games on the future now. We have two on Saturday, obviously. Louisville-Wichita State's going to start things off. They'll be the first team to decide who's going to the national championship game in Atlanta.
And I don't want to say it's going to be a blowout.
Mind you, Kevin Ware is from Atlanta, which is a little more incentive
for
him to go
there. He's going home. It's such a good story. He left the hospital. They said he was traveling to Louisville and traveling to Atlanta with his team. So he's with the guys. And let him just enjoy the moment.
So here's the question then. Out of the two games, because then they're going to open things up, then Michigan-Cuse is the second game, so they're more of the evening game on that Saturday.
Prime time, that's a great game.
Yeah. Which game are you looking more forward to?
Well, I think you just heard me say it. I don't think Louisville's going to blow out Wichita State, but I think they've got the win as close to in the bag as you can have it in a Final Four game. But the Syracuse-Michigan game, it's going to be Trey Burke against the zone, Glenn Robinson against the zone, and Hardaway Jr., and it's going to be a blast. Because you need great guard play, you need great passing in order to beat the Syracuse zone, to get inside of it. And we know that these guys can shoot threes, and if you can three-point shoot a zone, you're going to be successful because you know that Syracuse is not going to come out of their zone.
Yeah.
They're going to make you shoot threes all game in order to be successful. That's something Michigan can do. I think Trey Burke, if they win this game and they go on to the championship, he will be the player of the tournament and the number one pick in the draft.
I'm going with the same thing. I think that's the best game to watch in terms of fans because that one's going to be more neck and. I mean, not saying that. Okay, Wichita State's going to hold their own against Louisville in the first half.
Yeah, it's not going to be a blowout.
Yeah, I agree. So it's not going to be killed. I do think, however, Louisville is going to pull what they did against Duke and pretty much smoke the Shockers in the second half. Could be wrong. We'll see.
Patino with those halftime adjustments.
Yeah,
very powerful.
He's very good at that, and they've absolutely smoked teams out of the water this whole tournament, their whole run. Pretty much looking like the. I mean, I don't want to go with my Homer and UNC pick, but looking like the championship team of a couple years ago with Hansborough when they just absolutely demolished every team in their race.
We'll say Duke of 3 years ago.
Okay. I'll go with both of them. But, if, you know, same thing, too. What we've been saying this entire tournament is we've been saying we went with our coaches. That's how we picked our Final Four pretty much. And if you look at it, it's Patino over with Louisville. It's the only no-namer, so to speak, is Greg Marshall in Wichita State. Then you have John Boeheim at Michigan, and then over at Syracuse is Jim Boeheim. So it's like, wow.
Right, so our theme of coaches came true.
So it came true to a degree. So if we want to go with the coaching standpoint, I'm going to go with that. I'd love to see a Bayline in the Big Ten against Boeheim in the Big East. I think that's going to be a phenomenal matchup. And I'm really curious to see because it's a zone team against a half-court press team in Michigan. So it's two very different styles, how they're going to adjust, what they're going to see, how well they're going to scout them. I mean, exactly what you said. It's a coin flip. Who really knows? 2-4 seeds are both proven. They both make great runs.
They're both playing some of the best basketball.
Which is kind of ironic. I mean, well, I don't know if the word is cliche, because, yeah, they're playing phenomenal basketball. All four of these teams are in the Final Four. But there's a difference that's separating from the pack.
Right. We could say that Louisville is not playing their best basketball of the year right now because they played great all year long, and you can't really tell the difference.
They're playing better than a couple months ago. Remember when they lost those three in a row? We're like, God, they just dug themselves
But if we compare it to the way they started the season or early on, it'll say, hey, we don't know which one's better.
Well, but here's the thing, too. They ran the Big East tournament.
Right.
And then obviously what they did in the NCAA tournament. What's funny, too, is Syracuse and Louisville are joining the ACC next year. So, holy smokes. That's
quite a conference.
That's going to be a power conference still.
But when you look at Michigan and Syracuse, you can say, without a doubt, you know they're playing their best basketball of the year.
Yes.
They're as hot as they can get.
Yes.
And so you're going to have to be great in order to be one of those two teams.
Which is why it's going to be a grudge match and all the hearts are going to be left. Like, literally everybody's going to put their heart and soul in that game.
Right.
Speaking of heart and soul then, if we're going to go with what team's going to stand out, obviously you have to look at teams that are going to put the team on their back at this point in the Final Four. Who's going to step up and bring their team to the championship? So with that in mind, which player do you think is most proven to be an NBA talent?
Well, at this point,
in the Final Four only.
You know exactly who I'm going with, because I can't stop talking about Trey Burke. He averaged, 19 points, 7 assists a game this year. He can steal the ball. He can block shots. He's good in transition. He's on-ball defender, off-ball defender.
I think Kansas will remember him from quite some time.
Yeah.
Huge 3-4 overtime.
Yeah, he's 0-4 in the first half, but it doesn't matter. Great player, show up second half in overtime, get the job done. That's what he did. If he was 2 inches taller, he's Russell Westbrook. The way he is now, he can be a Kyrie Irving, Chauncey Billups type player. A young Chauncey Billups, when he used to attack the basket, not just shoot threes. But Trey Burke's had a nice jumper too. There's nothing that I can't see this kid doing.
I completely agree with you there. I believe Trey Burke, out of the Final Four, is probably going to end up being the best NBA talent in this, if he, just assuming he goes. I mean, what? Oh, man, I don't see why he wouldn't. He's definitely going to be a lottery pick if he does.
He's a player of the year candidate this year. If he stays one more year.
But you have to ask this question because he is only a sophomore. So I'm giving him all the love in the world because I completely agree with you there, especially what he did in the tournament. Yeah, so what? He struggled against San Diego State, South Dakota State.
Yeah, it wasn't a game he got up for. How about that?
No, but then he basically put the team on his back against Kansas, even though he didn't shoot as well for three. He had a double-double, 23 points, 10 assists.
Who does that in college basketball?
Yeah, did what he needed to, especially for a point guard. It's more unlikely to see 10 assists in a point guard. So, hey, 10 assists in mind. I'm going to go over another player to watch is going to be on Syracuse, and that's Michael Carter-Williams, just because of what he did. I mean, he was my baller of the year for so many weeks. He's a very similar point guard. I like his height a lot more. So he's a sophomore guard, just like Trey Burke, but he stands at 6'6", which is going to make him very versatile in the NBA. They could move him to a two guard. I don't think they should.
Well, we don't have too many 6'6" ones in the NBA, typically because they're not quick enough to guard the 6-foot point guards.
Which we'll see what they're going to move him. But if they do put him to a two, this is a guy who steals the ball. In the tournament alone, with just four games, he had 13 steals.
That's incredible.
Which is unbelievable. The Cal game he stunk. He turned the ball over 5 times. But if you're looking at turnovers, he ended up having a 19-9 assist to turnover ratio, which isn't terrible. Could be a little bit better, I guess, in that standpoint. But puts up double digit points, gets rebounds as well because he's 6'6". So he's kind of a guy that does it all too. He is with that Boeheim zone, which I'm not sure if NBA is going
to
want him.
You have to credit the system for his success on the defensive end.
That's true. I mean, I agree with that because teams aren't really prepared to play the zone as much. As you've been saying, it's an easy system to learn, but if teams don't know how to run it, then they're going to be screwed when they run into Syracuse. So, well, I mean, it all comes down to the preparation and ahead of time and how the head coach of the opponent's going to work his team. So I like Mike Carter-Williams. I think he's going to be a late lottery pick if he decides to go. It's two sophomores. They're both young. They're already both proven enough to do well. So I like Trey Burke, but to throw out another name, Michael Carter-Williams could be a guy that could surprise some teams in the NBA.
Yeah, I could see him being successful too. But there's one more guy I want to talk about. He's not on page to be the best player in the NBA, but he's a guy, if you're looking for a guy who can do a role and be a lock and be successful without a doubt, you have to look at the 6'11 center out of Louisville, Gorgui Dieng. He's from Senegal, so you know, well, Senegal doesn't tell you anything, but but he has the exact same abilities as Serge Ibaka. When you're looking at the court, and if you weren't going to look at the face, it is the same exact guy. They're both skinny, tall, long, athletic, can hit a 15 to 18 foot jumper, and can block shots and defend the basketball. They're the same player, so if you're drafting him, you're drafting the next Serge Ibaka. And if he goes to the NBA and you have a fantasy team with him and Serge Ibaka on it, you're winning blocks category every week.
I agree with that. But what's hilarious, and you're gonna probably be so surprised by this, looking at the NBA draft, one of the mock drafts, he's literally not even in the entire draft.
Then
as a mock draft.
You know what team he's going to go to then? If he's not in the draft, what team does he go to?
Well, he's going to go to one of the sleeper teams probably. And he'll probably go, yeah, watch, he'll go
to
OKC again.
Who is the smartest coach in the NBA?
Well, that's debatable.
Okay, no, it's not.
You can go with a couple.
Now, I'm not asking you who the best coach is, even though he's up there. Who's the if you were the smartest coach in the NBA?
I don't know.
I'll give you 3 more seconds, and then if you don't say his name, I'm just going to say it.
I mean, I'm not going to say he's going to go by smart. He's not going to go with the smart. I mean, I don't know. This smart coaching is not going to do it. It's what teams need. It's going to be he's going to be a 25 to a 30 pick because they're going to realize, oh, he's still available. He'll be a steal for us. I mean, I could see him going to a team like OKC because they want to replace Ibaka. They're going to.
No, he will go undrafted and go to the Spurs because Greg Popovich is the smartest coach in the NBA.
I don't know if Popovich is going to want him, though. I mean,
why? Tim Duncan's old.
Yeah, well, why? You wouldn't want
him.
And
he's a 4. Get this guy in. Tony Parker, Manu Ginobili, Danny Green, and Tim Duncan. You don't need any more help offensively. You just don't.
No.
They can hold their own. This guy comes in. He can get you 8 to 10 rebounds a night. He's going to block shots and play defense and play hard. And that's all you really need out of him. He's a role player, but he's going to be great at what he does.
I don't know. Yeah, I just can't play the whole coach where he's going to go yet. Because playing what he does.
If he goes undrafted, I say he goes to the Spurs. I'm just giving Popovich the benefit of the doubt.
Oh, okay.
He finds out about guys that nobody else knows about, and he finds a way to make them work. I mean, we've seen Manu Ginobili was the 56th pick, I believe, of a draft. What he's got top
okay,
10
at least,
talent.
At least I had to go find another draft because I couldn't believe it. And then this other one has him in the late first round. So thank God somebody has their head on straight.
Okay.
So they have him going to technically Minnesota. Whatever. Those change all the time.
Yeah.
Wow. Whose Minnesota trade pick was? Who they trade with? I don't even know on that one. First round. I gotta look this up now. Oh, they got the Grizzlies first round pick. There it is.
Okay.
Okay. I was like, why are the Minnesota in the 26th overall?
That's not what
pick?
You want.
No.
But he's only a junior, so he can stay another year. But I think the way he's played lately and the dominance he's shown in the paint on the defensive end, he should come out, go into the draft, and just have a successful NBA career.
We'll see what he's gonna do. Man, the Final Four is gonna be phenomenal here. I'm excited for it. I want to see what's going to happen. I want to see who's going to come out of it. I only got as pumped as I was before. Even with our bracket breakdown, it looked like I was going to run away with this thing. Then all of a sudden, there were some surprises.
I don't want to talk about it.
We both missed our Duke pick. We both missed the Ohio State pick. I didn't have a chance in the Kansas region because they lost to Michigan. The only pick I got right was Cuse. I think you. You went 0-4. I went 1-4. But I'm done.
0-4.
But I'm done because I had Duke Kansas in my finals. So I'm done too.
I had Duke Indiana in my finals, and I had Ohio State and Michigan State. No, I had Ohio State
and Florida.
No, and it doesn't
Georgetown
even, doesn't even matter now. I don't know. I had 2 number ones and 2 number twos.
No, you went with.
Then
you had to go with Kansas.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
Okay, so we both had Kansas. You had Indiana. She had Kansas, Indiana on the right side of your bracket, and then the left side of the bracket you had Duke and Ohio State.
Exactly.
So we're both toast. But hey, we're doing well. If it's any consolation, if you guys did listen to my picks a little bit, I was in the 90th percentile for a little bit. So give myself some love.
Where are you now?
I should look. I wasn't prepared to look this up. So
catching you off guard here.
I guarantee you it dropped because of all the changes that happened. I mean, Well, then again, nobody's going to have Wichita State, so that one didn't hurt me. But a couple of fans for sure would have Michigan. I'm going to guess, and I haven't looked at it yet, I'm going to guess I'm probably like 88 is what I'm going to guess.
Okay, well, while you're looking it up, I'll tell you mine. I am in the 13th percentile, and it can only go down because I don't have any of the final four
picks.
I'm
95th.
Okay. We're talking about Yahoo brackets, by the way, not ESPN.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm in the 95th percentile, which baffles me. But my bracket's done, so I can't get any better either. The only pick I got right in the final four was Syracuse.
And you have them losing.
Which, yeah, I had them losing to Kansas, so I'm completely gone.
Right.
People got Louisville pick right. So basically, the most likely would be some people who are above me probably have Louisville, Syracuse. And then the fans of Michigan probably have a Michigan, Louisville, or something like that.
Well, the best bracket on Yahoo right now is Michael's bracket. That's what it's called. He has all four final four teams there, and he's got Syracuse over Louisville in the national title game. And at this point,
he got all final four right.
He got all final four teams right. At this point, I'm just going to trust him and be like, Michael, you know what's going on. You might be the smartest guy in the country. I believe you. So right now, my pick is Syracuse 63, Louisville 61 in the national championship game, because that's exactly what Michael's going with.
Okay, his possible points are more. Right now, the team right behind, if we're going all the other teams going, technically, I just got screwed up here. Okay, Michael's bracket's alive, but so is... Oh, it's the same exact one, though. The other guy in second has Louisville and Syracuse, although the difference is he has Louisville winning it all.
All right, so if Louisville wins it all, Michael might not be the top bracket in the country anymore. But as of right now, he's the best bracket in the country on Yahoo, and that has earned my respect to believe that Syracuse will beat Louisville in the national title
Which
game.
Is funny, because actually, if you get a chance and go on there, his bracket isn't phenomenal.
No, it's really because he had...
It's just because he got the Final Four right.
And he had seven of the Elite Eight teams right.
Yeah, the only one he missed, he said Miami over Marquette.
Right, that's the only game he missed.
Which is pretty... So he got it done late, which is exactly what we said in this entire time in the beginning. We said, there's going to be some weird upsets in the first round, right. Which is why I made that bet with you about three of the five right.
What my crazy picks in the first round aren't what cost me. It was the fact that I didn't get any Final Four teams.
Right.
And not, well,
which were any of them? One of them was your crazy upset,
well,
Michigan
and Syracuse.
So two of them. So that's kind of ironic.
The reason
I forgot you had Montana.
The reason I picked those teams to lose in the first round was because I thought they would lose in the second round regardless, and I didn't think it was going to come back to haunt me.
That is kind of funny. Did you have
it
Pittsburgh Green Wichita State?
It clearly did come back to haunt me.
Please don't have Pittsburgh Green Wichita State. I think you might have.
I got to get out of Michael's bracket, and I got to go to my bracket. So just a second. I was admiring how good Michael's was.
I know. His is pretty good.
It was phenomenal. So
first round was kind of rough.
So what are you asking me? I had Wichita State.
Okay, good. I would have been like, wow. So here we are. We're making great picks later on, but then our first rounds were like, well, we couldn't even get the final four teams out of the first round.
Well, and I had Louisville beating NCA&M. I'm sorry, NCA&T.
Woo. I'll fly that one.
Thank you.
At least you didn't pick 16 over the one that time.
It would have been the first time in tournament history.
The only team you might have was if you picked Southern and that actually happened. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Well, I was close to picking LaSalle over Kansas State, but... Oh, LaSalle over Gonzaga. You picked Wichita State over Gonzaga, didn't you?
I did.
So you got that right.
I got that one right. But then that was when we're saying the one I wish I would have changed was pick Wichita State over Wisconsin. I shouldn't have touched the Badgers.
Oh, well, I had the Ole Miss over Wisconsin pick.
I know. So that helped you. But
and
then
I'm
you,
done celebrating
you
ran, because my bracket is terrible.
You, I know. Then you ran Gonzaga. Wow. Yeah, but what an interesting Final Four. This is going to be great. None of these teams have been in the Final Four for a while. I love the Michigan story because they haven't been there since their big run 93 that got them on the map. So
right, and I don't think Syracuse has been there since the cornrows of Carmelo Anthony.
Yeah, he hasn't been there since Carmelo. When's the last time Louisville's been there, I wonder?
I don't know. But
Wichita State was back in the 60s,
I'll believe you because I have no memory of them ever being in a Final Four.
I think it's been a while. I think it was the 60s. Patino, I feel like it had to be within the past 5 years. I'm sure it was. I just don't know. I don't know the team because it wasn't memorable.
Was Louisville not there last year?
I'm going to be embarrassed because I should know this for sure.
I really thought Louisville was in the Final Four last year. It's time to Google search.
On our own show, we're the experts.
2012 Final
National Champions in 86. The last time they were at, yeah, it was last year. That's embarrassing. We both didn't know.
Well, I said it. What are you talking about? We both didn't know.
Oh, I wasn't 100% sure. So 2005 and 2012 were the last times besides this past year they were in the Final Four. They haven't won a championship, though, since 86.
Right.
So if you're looking at championship teams, We've had 86, 93. God knows when Wichita Stadium. I don't even know if they even won it. I think they just made an appearance back then.
Well, this was also the first time that Patino and Duke had met in the tournament since 1992, when Duke beat Kentucky on the Grant Hill to Christian Laettner pass that won the national championship.
And also, they played earlier for the first time, like in the regular season, back in the second week of the season,
right. Which
is crazy. I think out of all these, we're being dumb here. When Mello won it was the last time any one of these four teams won the national championship.
Right. Yeah.
So that was 2001, correct?
No, 2003.
Three?
Yes, 100% sure. The 2003 draft class in the NBA with Mello, Wade, Bosch, Heinrich.
Yeah, that was big.
Yeah, it was 2003.
That was a fun year too. That was when Boeheim was like on his high.
I might have watched just as much high school basketball that year as I did college basketball because LeBron was all over ESPN.
That's true. So any final words here? What to expect in Final Four? I think we covered it pretty well. We got the pro. We got our favorite. We both went with Louisville. We said there's a chance for Michigan. At least I did.
I definitely think there is too. Burke is phenomenal.
We love Trey Burke. We threw out some shout outs there to Jang and Carter Williams. We think the hire was pretty good over at USC. So we got our basketball.
They weren't
going to
get any worse. So
yeah. So you only go up from there in Pac-12. So any final words or just enjoy the games?
Enjoy the games. Enjoy baseball season. We're back.
Yeah, we are. Hey, Cubs are. I got a chance to go 162-0.
So do the Dodgers.
All right. Not going to happen for our teams, but whatever.
That'll do it for Full Court Press. Thanks for listening to our Final Four preview. For Nick Merrick, I'm Josh Franz. Promise you, we're back to the NBA next week.
FaceTime next week.